Today's Mishnah is on Masechtas Peah, Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches, and Mishnah Tes, the last two Mishnayos of Masechtas Peah. Today's Mishnayos are being learned by Ilui Nishmas, Reb Arye Tzvi, Ben Reb Chanoi Chendel, the Kozhugla V'goyen, Hashem Yinkoim Damoy. So, the topic of the Masechta has been the laws of Matnas Aniyim, and we conclude with two very general halachos as it relates to somebody accepting Matnas Aniyim. So, in order for someone to take Leket, Shikha, Peya, Peret, Oilolois, Meiser Ani, Tzedakah, he would have to be an Ani. The question is, how does halacha define an Ani? Any person that's struggling financially is an Ani? Or is there a more technical definition as far as what an ani is? That's the question that our Mishnah is going to pose, and the Mishnah is going to give a rather straightforward answer. Says the Mishnah, Misha yesh lo masayim zuz. If somebody has 200 zuz, lo yitayl, he's not allowed to take leket, shikha, upeyo, maiser ani. Meaning, somebody that has masayim zuz is not an ani. If somebody has less than masayim zuz, then he's considered an ani. The Rav says that why is masayim zuz the number? Meaning, what's the methodology behind it? Kim lo because the Rabbanon had that somebody that has 200 zuz, he's going to have enough money for 1 year to be able to buy the clothing that he needs and to be able to have the mazonos that he needs. So what's the short answer? What makes somebody an ani if he has less than masayim zuz? Once he has masayim zuz, he's not an ani anymore, and it's for that reason he's not allowed to take the matnas anim. Says the Mishnah, what if somebody had a little bit less than masayim zuz, meaning he had masayim chaser adinar, he has 199 zuz, afilu elef noisen lekachas. If somebody would come now and offer him 1,000 zuz of Maiserani, for example, or of Tztaka, Hareza Yital, he's allowed to take it. What's the Chiddush? You would have thought that if somebody has less than Masayim Zuz, so he's an Ani. But once somebody gives him Tzedaka enough to bring him to the point where he has Masayim Zuz, where he's not an Ani anymore, maybe he's not allowed to take more than that. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that if somebody's an Ani, he could take as much as you give him. And it's not considered to be a violation of the laws of tzedakah. The person giving is mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah. The person that's receiving isn't doing anything wrong. As long as a person is at the threshold where he's an ani, in one shot you can give him as much as you want. What happens if a person has masayim zuz? The problem is that some of his money right now is collateralized for a bal chayiv. So for example, he had borrowed money from somebody. He had a post collateral, and some of the money that he has is collateral, or he's married, and if he ever divorced his wife, he would have to give her a ksuba, so that some of the money that he has is right now collateralized for the ksuba of his wife. So do we look at that money? Do we take it into the cheshbon of determining whether he has masayim zuz or not? Says the Mishnah, Hareza Yital, yeah, he's allowed to take tzedakah. Meaning we don't look at any money that's collateralized as being his, and therefore the halacha is that that would not make him into an asher. He would still be considered a nani. He'd be able to take matnas aniyim. Ein mechayv enoysed limker hasbeisoy ves kli tashmish. Another halacha the Mishnah says is that what happens if a person has assets that are worth masayim zuz, but he doesn't have liquid assets that are worth masayim zuz. He has a house, he has different things that he uses in his house, but at the same time, as far as cash geld, that he doesn't have masayim zuz. So do we look at him as an ani? Do we not look at him as an ani? It's the same question. Technically, he has possessions that are worth more than masayim zuz, based on which he wouldn't be considered an ani. The problem is, should he sell his house? Should he sell his car? Like, would we obligate him to do those things? So the Mishnah says, no, ein mechayv enoysoy limker espesoy veskli tashmisha. We don't force him to sell these things, meaning if he doesn't have these things liquid, he's still going to be considered an ani. Mishnah Tes, the last Mishnah of Masechtas Peah, which really, the beginning, anyways, is very much a continuation of the first Mishnah that we just learned, Mishnah Ches. Mishi Yesh L'Chamishim Zuz. What happens if somebody has 50 Zuz? V'hu Noisev and Noisev Bahem, but he handles with this 50 Zuz, meaning the person's a Seicher, he has a business, he buys Schayra, he sells Schayra, he has 50 Zuz, Hareza Le Yitel. Says the Mishnah, he's not allowed to take Leket, Shikha, Peya, Maiserani, Tzedakah. The reason is because 50 Zuz to a seicher is the equivalent thereof to 200 zuz, not to a seicher. What's the point? What's the reason that if somebody has 200 zuz, he's not considered an ani? Because if you have 200 zuz, says the Rav, you have enough money to be able to make it through the year. For ksus, for your clothing, for mezainis, for the food that you need. Someone that has 50 zuz and he handles with the 50 zuz, that too would yield enough money for him to be able to make it through the year. And it's for that reason, says the Mishnah, that 50 zuz of who noisev and noisev is the equivalent of masayim zuz. Nalach is a reza lo yitol. He's not allowed to take maaser ani, says the Mishnah. V'chol misha eino tzarech lita v'noitel. If there's a person that doesn't need tzedakah, but he takes anyways. Einoi nifter min ha'olam, says the Mishnah, he's not going to die achi yitzarech lebrius until he's really going to need to take tzedakah. So if somebody fakes it, meaning he doesn't need tzedakah, but he makes believe he does, it's not a good thing. Says the Mishnah, einoi nifter min ha'olam achi yitzarech lebrius, that before this person dies, he's really going to need it. B'chom yishe tzarech litu ve'einoi noitel. What if someone's in the reverse? Someone that needs to take tzedakah, but he doesn't take it. That's a very good thing. Einoi meis min ha'zikna achi yifarnes acherim yishaloi. Number one, not einoi nifter min ha'olam. That sounds premature. But einoi meis min ha'zikna. He's going to die at an older age. But not only is he going to die at an older age, but achi yifarnes acherim yishaloi. Before he dies, he's going to end up not only not needing tzedakah, but he's going to be able to be mefarnes other people by giving them tzedakah. So if a person doesn't need tzedakah and he takes it, not good. It bodes very poorly for what's to come. If a person needs tzedakah and he holds himself back, he shows restraint and he doesn't take it, that's meridik. And einoi meis min hazikna achi yifarnes acher mishaloi. All of akasav oimitz regarding him that the pasuk says, baruch hagever ashe yiftach b'ashem. Praised is the person that places his betachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't take tzedakah. But ashe yiftach b'ashem. V'hoya Hashem miftachay. And it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he relies on. The Mishnah says, aga v'chein dayin shedon din emes lamitay. Even a dayin that's done din emes lamitay, a dayan that judges MS and he doesn't get impressed and intimidated by maybe who the plaintiff or the defendant is, but he does everything 100% MS, he's also someone that is some miftachay b'ashem. He's also all of akasavayim and baruch hagever ashi yiftach b'ashem. Says the Mishnah v'chom nishenu loy chigir v'loy sumov loy piseach. If there's a person that's not a chigir is someone that has difficulty walking with one foot. A suma is someone that can't see. A piseach is someone that has difficulty walking with both feet. So if someone is none of the above, but he makes believe he is. At some point, he's going to become like that. So if somebody makes believe he has a mum, now why would someone even do that? He's doing it because he wants people to have sympathy on him, and maybe people will help him out. If someone does that, until he becomes like that. Shenemar, the pasuk says, tzedek tirdoif. That tzedakah, tzedek is tzedakah, tzedek tirdoif. You have to go about it with honesty. The first tzedek means tzedakah. The second tzedek means with erlichkeit. So you have to go about tzedakah in an honest way. And the Mishnah concludes, v'chol dayin shalikeach shoychad. If there's a dayin that accepts bribes, umate sadin, or he perverses judgment, before he dies, this person is going to lose his eyesight. Shenemar, that's a pasuk in the Torah, v'shoychad lo yisikach. Do not take shoychad, because shoychad can cause the eyes of even intelligent people to suddenly not be able to see clearly. So the Mishnah ends with a little bit of a musar shmuz, that if you have someone that doesn't need tzedakah, but he makes believe he does need the tzedakah, before he dies, he's going to have to come on to people. And then we have the reverse person, the chomish tzarech lito, someone that needs tzedakah, and he doesn't take it, and this person, before he dies, not only is he not going to need tzedakah, but he's going to be mefarnes others. He's going to be someone that's going to be giving tzedakah. And the truth is, it sounds like from the Mishnah that it's not good to take tzedakah. So even a person that needs it, v'chol mi shetzarech litoil, ve'enoi noitel, wow, baruch hagever asher yiftach b'ashem, v'hoyah Hashem miftachay. So is that true? If a person needs tzedakah, he's not supposed to take it? So the Rav says that the Yerushalmi says that's not always the case. And you have to understand this halacha a little bit better, says the Rav, because the Mishnah is misleading. It sounds like in the Mishnah, if there's a person that needs tzedakah, you shouldn't take it. So the Rav says, chas v'shalom. If there's a person that needs tzedakah, and he doesn't take tzedakah, and he puts his life at risk, and he puts his children's life at risk, ha-reza shoyfeich damim. It's one of the worst things a person can do. A person that needs tzedakah and doesn't take tzedakah, it's the worst thing possible. What does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah is talking about a person that needs tzedakah, but he can technically do something about it on his own. Meaning he can fix his problem on his own. He doesn't want to. He says, why should I work on this by myself? Let me instead rely on other people. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. That's what the Mishnah says is not a good thing. But at the same time, if you have a person that is, what's he supposed to do? He's in a situation where he needs staka and he has no etzah, then he has to take staka. So when the Mishnah says that if you need staka and you don't take it, it's a good thing, it means you need staka. You don't take it because you do something about it on your own. That's all about kasav leimer, baruch hagev asher yiftach b'Hashem v'hayah Hashem yiftachek. But if somebody needs staka and there's nothing for himself to do, he can't. And he says, I don't care. I'm going to just not take anything from anybody. Not only is he not a Baruch HaGev Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, but I raise a Shoyfech Dovim, says the Yerushalmi, for us all, Rachim Olav, and a person like this, he can't even have Rachmanis on, and this is someone that goes into a special category. It's Chas V'Shalom. It's also for a person to do that. And on that note, we finish the second Masechta of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the second Masechta of Seyed Ezron, Hadran Aloch, Masechtas Peah, just to end with a tiny recap, really very short because we recapped the Masechta several times throughout the Masechta, so we just finished learning Masechtas Peah. And for someone that never learned Masechtas Peah, if you ask him what's Masechtas Peah about, he's going to tell you, I don't know, probably Peah. Peah is a halach in the Torah. But the truth is, as we've seen, Masechtas Peah is about Peah, but it's not exclusively about Peah. And really, the name Peah is a misleading title for the Masechta. Really, what the Masechta talks about is all the laws of Matnas Aniyim, the different things that a person is supposed to give an ani. It talks about Peya, also talks about Leket and Shikha, and Peret and Oilulis, Maiserani and Tzedakah. These are all the different things that a person has to give Aniyim. We're going to see in coming Masechtas, there were certain things that the person had to give the Kayin, the Matnas Kahuna, there were certain things that the person had to give the Levi, such as Maiserishayim. There's things that a person has to give an ani. As a general term, they're known as Matnois Aniyim. In terms of the Masechta in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah that discusses them, it's Masechtas Peah. The truth is, the Rambam, when he wrote the laws of Peah, he included them in his Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. So what the Mishnah referred to as Masechtas Peah, the Rambam actually referred to as Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, which is a little bit more descriptive of what the Masechta talks about. It's interesting that the Rambam, in his Hakdama to Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, so if you go through the Rambam in the Yad Chazaka, so in the beginning, as an introduction to the first perek of all the Rambam's halachas, he mentions all the mitzvahs that you have in this particular perek, and this particular subject of halacha. So in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, the Rambam says, Yesh b'chlolam sholosh esrei mitzvahs, that if you go through Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, you're going to see there are 13 mitzvahs associated with it. Sheva mitzvahs aseh, there are 7 mitzvahs aseh, v'sheish mitzvahs lo yisaseh, there's 6 mitzvahs lo yisaseh. I think it's worth mentioning the 13 because I think that's the recap, the very short recap, the Masechtas Peah. The first mitzvah, laniach peah, is a mitzvah to leave peah. The second mitzvah is shlo yichala peah. There's a lo yisaseh, not to take the peah. Lohaniach leket, to leave leket, shlo yilakit leket. That's the lo yisaseh of leket. Lazev oilulis bekerem, the mitzvah asay of oilulus, shaloya oilul akerim, the lois asay of oilulus. Lazay peret akerim, the asay of peret, shaloya lakit peret bekerim, the lois asay of peret. Loniach ashikcha, the asay of shikcha, shaloya shalakach sashikhi, now let it go back to take shikcha. Lahafresh maiser laniim, the mitzvah asay of maiserani, lit, there's no lois asay associated with maiserani, litain tzedaka kamasis yad, to give tzedaka, and then finally shaloya amitz lavavi ala oni. There's a lois asay associated with tzedaka as well. So the Rambam says it's 13 mitzvahs. What are the 13 mitzvahs? Leket, shikha, peah, peret, oilis, and staka, 6, all have aseis and lois aseis. So 6 times 2 is 12. And then finally, lahafrish, maiser laniim, maiser ani has an asei, it doesn't have a lois asei. Together, what's the number? The number is 13. Is the number 13 a coincidence? Nothing is a coincidence. And maybe the reason this 13 mitzvah, says the Rambam, as relates to the halachas of Matnas Aniyim, is because the idea of Matnas Aniyim is to have rachmanus on the ani. That's what it's all about. The Rambam, in the Perek Yud Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, so he gives a little bit of a Musa Shmuz as it relates to the mitzvah of tzedakah. And the Rambam says like this, U'la'olam ein adam ani min tzedakah. A person should know you don't become poor from helping other people. You don't become poor from giving tzedakah. Ve'ein davar ra, v'loi hezek nigla b'shvelat tzedakah. And nothing bad will ever come from giving tzedakah. Kol ha'merachem merachem in olav. Any person that has rachmanis on someone else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on him. V'chol shehu achzori ve'ein merachem. But Yidden are Rachmanim. Kol Yisrael vanil valeim kachemim. The Rambam says all Yidden are brothers. Shenemar banim atam Hashem lekeichem. We're all sons for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does that prove we're brothers? What makes two people brothers? The fact that they share parents. So if we're all banim Hashem lekeichem, by definition we're brothers. And the Rambam says, if a person is not going to have Rachmanis on his brother, mi yirachim alav, then who's going to have Rachmanis on him? Meaning, if there's a person that needs Rachmanis, and he has a brother that doesn't want to help him. So if his brother's not going to have Rachmanis on him, mi yirachim alav, who is going to have Rachmanis? Says the Rambam that the idea of tzedakah, really the mindset of tzedakah is that a yid has to understand that number one, this other yid that's in need, he's your brother. Number two, you have to understand that ein adam ma'ani min tzedakah, nobody becomes poor from giving tzedakah. You have to realize that when you have rachmanis, kol merachim rachman olav, but matnas aniyim is an avoida in rachmanos. It's an avoida in having rachamim for another yid. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he interacts with the world with midas harachamim. How many midas harachamim? 13. There's 13 midas shel rachamim. We also know the Svarim say that it's midah keneged midah. When a yid acts with rachmanis to somebody else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on him. Like the Rambam says, kol merachim, meracham in olav. In order to give tzedakah properly, the yid has to have rachmanis. How many midos of rachamim are there? There are yud gimel midos shel rachamim. There are 13 mitzvahs in the laws of matnas aniyim. There are 13 midos shel rachamim. A yid that's mekayim the 13 mitzvahs of matnas aniyim. The 13 mitzvahs of mesachtes peyah. Kol ha-merachim, merachamim olam min ha-shamayim. He'll be zoicha to all the rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum. Hashem is a chanun, erach ha-payim, v'rav chesed. Lo yitzah chesed la-lofim, lo yisei ovim, v'fesha, v'chato. V'naki lo yinaki, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachim. How do we inspire? How do we untap, unlock the rachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah? Kol ha-merachim, meracham in olav. What's the mitzvah of tzedakah? Yeah, you have rachmanis on another yid. On a technical level, on a nuanced level, on a mesechtes peah level, it's 13 mitzvahs. The 13 mitzvahs of the laws of matnas aniyim, the 7 mitzvahs aseh, and the 6 mitzvahs lois aseh, those yud gimel are ma'orer, the yud gimel midoy shel rachamim. And on that note, again, hadron aloch, mesechtes peah.